Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Fireball Hot Take Friday. Tomorrow night is the big game. 94-9 Game 2 will have it. Tennessee versus Kentucky. And then flip right on over to 102.5 Preds at Vegas. A great doubleheader. So I said before we went to break, I think tomorrow night's Tennessee-Kentucky game will be the most exciting, most hyped local game in over a decade.
I'm waiting for the four outcomes.
The four outcomes?
Yes.
Well, there's, you know the four outcomes.
No.
So there's four possibilities to this game. And I want to dissect each and every one of them. So do we want to look at it as a pro vol thing?
What goes beyond Kentucky winning or Tennessee winning?
Okay, so here's the first outcome, in my opinion, which is I'm going to go by the most likely outcomes, in my opinion. Number one, the most likely outcome tomorrow night, Kentucky wins a close game. If Kentucky wins a close game tomorrow night, so let's say 69-65, good game, but Kentucky wins a close game at Rupp, hard-fought game, how do we feel about Tennessee and Kentucky after that?
I think that's what I'm expecting.
Okay, so how will you feel about both teams if that's the outcome of the game tomorrow? I will feel like, you know what, Tennessee is still really good, but they've still, you know, they can lose to good teams, they can beat good teams, probably not good enough to beat Duke, but they showed that they can beat the other upper echelon team that they're competing with.
Yeah, I mean, they've really already kind of proven that, haven't they?
By beating Gonzaga?
Yeah.
I guess, but that was so long ago. You know, they haven't played a really good team in a long time, and this is a really good team who's got everything to play for in this game, and it's a big game. And so I think there's definitely a lot of prove it for Tennessee in this game. Not that we don't believe in Tennessee, but I think there's some prove it in here. And even if they lose close to Kentucky, I think that they will have at least proven something.
Well, yeah, but I mean, what if they won 19 in a row? They beat Gonzaga. They're the number one team in the country. So, I mean,
Number one in title only. Everybody thinks Duke is the number one team.
I think they're going to Kentucky, which is going to be a hard place to play. We know that. And the truth is, it's like we said before, I mean, I expect Kentucky to win in Kentucky. I expect Tennessee to win in Tennessee. I mean, I think the two teams are that close. And I think if you take those two teams and you throw in Duke and, you know, whoever else you want, Gonzaga or whoever else you want to throw in there.
Virginia,
whoever it may be, then, you know, you've got the upper echelon teams in the league.
So, to me, I believe that Duke and Tennessee right now are in a class all by themselves. Kentucky is third right behind that. Gonzaga four, even though Gonzaga beat Duke, I'm just telling you, I think Gonzaga four, Virginia five. And Virginia clearly five, because Duke just throttled them Saturday at Virginia.
Right.
So I kind of don't even really think much about Virginia. Plus, Virginia always chokes. So I just think that Tennessee has still a little bit to prove. If they go and they lose a close game to Kentucky, I'm not going to take anything away from them that I feel right now, but I probably won't give them anything more than how I feel about them. And I think it would be a huge red flag as to whether or not they could compete with Duke.
Okay.
The second outcome, which again is the second most likely outcome in my opinion, Kentucky wins in a blowout.
Oh, no, we're not
If
going.
Kentucky wins in a blowout, how would we feel about Tennessee then? And how would we feel about the Cats? You know, when we look at the Cats, if Kentucky blows out Tennessee, let's say Kentucky wins 81-55. And Kentucky just puts it on them, and the Vols have a bad night, and Kentucky's hitting everything. And we've seen this in college basketball before. One team blows out another team, they play a month later, and it's a totally different game. And I've been a part of games like that. So let's say that that's what we see. And all of a sudden, do we look at it now like, oh, you know what? This is what we're going to say if Kentucky blows the Vols out. The Vols are still a really good team. They had a bad night. But they got a little bit of ways to go to compete with the big dogs, you know, with the Kentuckys and the Dukes and those guys.
Yeah, I mean, I don't, you know, I won't say anything different. It'd be the same to me.
As even a matter if of fact, they get blown out?
As a matter of fact, I would give them, it would be harder for me to put them up there if they lose a close game.
Why?
Because both teams are playing their butts off and they weren't good enough to win it. If it's a blowout by either team, you know that's not the real teams that are playing.
You just throw it away.
Yeah, you just toss it. Those things would be gone. You say, okay, next game.
But the Rupp Arena factor, that's the one thing I think people don't understand is how big Rupp Arena, the Rupp factor is. And everybody was tweeting me earlier today saying, Jared, the Vols won at Rupp last year. I know, but it's not the same when you're, you know, a number 17 Tennessee team taking on number 24 Kentucky team on a Tuesday night. This is number one at 7 o'clock Saturday night in Lexington, College Game Day. It's going to be the biggest atmosphere they've played in since Memphis in 2008. So I'm not ready. I'm not going to write them off if they get blown out, but it's going to be hard for me to think that they could then in turn beat Duke if they get blown out by Kentucky. The third most likely scenario, Tennessee wins a close game at Rupp Arena. How do we feel about the Vols if they win a close game at Rupp Arena tomorrow?
I don't know that my opinion of the Vols would change. My opinion of Kentucky might change.
Why?
Because they just got beat at home in Rupp.
Two in a row. So, LSU, yeah, two in and a then row. Now you're talking so, about.
I mean, but as far as Tennessee, I mean, I don't know that it would affect me one way or the other. I mean, I don't. It's going to come.
Go
down
on the road in one of the most hostile environments in the sport and beat number five.
Yeah.
And you don't think it would change your mind at all about how good Tennessee is?
No.
If they go on the road and they beat Kentucky, I'm telling you, bring on Duke, baby. Bring on the Blue Devils. Because see, then that bring, would be you the. You, those, if you would beat Kentucky and Gonzaga, those. Bring on Duke.
I can't compare those. I can't compare. I can't look at Kentucky and say, okay, you beat Kentucky, you can beat Duke. I can't get there.
No, I'm not saying you can beat Duke if you beat him. I'm just saying bring him on because that would be the next.
I mean, what are your choices? Step. At some point in time, you're going to have to be saying, bring him on. I don't care if you just lost four in a row or if you got.
Well,
I
we
mean,
look
if
at
you
Vandy,
end up in the championship game, that's what you're going to be saying, bring him on.
Well, we look at Vandy right now, and we don't say bring on Duke. We say just please win a game. You know, and if they go into Kentucky and they win, I say bring on Duke, bring them on. Now, the fourth possibility, which is the least likely in my opinion, what if Tennessee blows out Kentucky at Rupp tomorrow night?
Same thing. It's not going to affect me.
I mean, why even play the games if Floyd Reese is not going to change his opinion on anything, no matter what happens in the game?
It's going to be the same. Tennessee is the same, but what about Kentucky? Once again, Tennessee is not going to, it won't affect me at all. But Kentucky is not quite ready for prime time.
But if Kentucky blows out Tennessee, we don't give Kentucky any credit?
No, I would give Kentucky credit.
But you just said that you wouldn't change your... If Tennessee lost in a blowout, you'd be less concerned about Tennessee than you would be if they lost a close game. Because then you would say, oh, yeah, you know, just throw that one out. Well, if Kentucky blows out Tennessee, you have to give them credit for blowing out the number one team in the country at home.
Yeah.
But you're not going to. You're just going to throw it out.
No, again, you asked me about Tennessee. It's not going to affect me, affect my thoughts about Tennessee at all.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is Kentucky better than I thought? Yep, that very well could be. I mean, instead of it just being Duke, Tennessee, it may be Duke, Kentucky, Tennessee. Or it may be Tennessee, Duke, Kentucky, or however you want to line them up. So I think then they jump into the discussion. But I mean... You know, Tennessee, blowout either way to me in a game of this caliber is insignificant. from the standpoint that you can't, you know, that's not what either team is.
If you'd Kentucky, almost have to see it in Kentucky the second
wins,
game.
Yeah, if Kentucky wins think, by okay. 20, you know Kentucky's not 20 points better than Tennessee. Now, they might be 2 points or 4 points or 6 points, and Tennessee might not be as good as you think, but not 20 points, you know.
So if you saw it twice, then you would be like, yeah, okay,
if they get smacked twice, you got to believe what you see.
If Tennessee blows out Kentucky, then I think I have to change how I feel about Duke. And I have to look at Tennessee and I have to say, you know what? They're every bit as good as Duke. And they might even be better. If they blow out Kentucky, that would be such a monumental, monumental accomplishment for Tennessee. So that's how we're starting this hour. Your thoughts, the four outcomes. Again, and I have them in this order. Kentucky wins close. Kentucky blows them out. Tennessee wins close. Tennessee blows them out. I am taking Kentucky only because the game is in Rupp. But what if with these two teams, and we are to your phones next, 615-737-1025 is the phone number, 615-737-1025, your thoughts on the matchup, Tennessee at Kentucky. And I was stunned by what I saw from ESPN today. We'll get to that, and then we're to your phones. Jared and the GM, live from the Game National Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. and Mount Juliet. Boy, I tell you, I love Fireball Hot Take Friday, and I love Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey. My goodness, Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey is so great, tastes so good, goes down so smooth, and it is the best. That's why this weekend, it's a big weekend. You gotta enjoy ice-cold Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey. Again, Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey goes down smooth, tastes so great, and again, Nashville. And I've always told you this, Nashville makes Fireball famous, or at least they made Fireball famous. Fireball is now very famous on their own. You will love it. Ice cold Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey, night to night. Please do it responsibly and be 21 years or older to enjoy. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
What's Kentucky have out to prove, do you think?
Well, first of all, this is a game that shapes up that the winner could continue to be on a one seed overall. Yeah. This league could end up with 2-1 seeds. Kentucky and Tennessee could both get there. Kentucky now, Calipari's got his guys' attention. They got beat last night. It's not like he wasn't, but now every single word between now and tip-off, Pat, is magnified. I will say this. If both teams play their very best, I give a slight edge to Tennessee. I think they're more complete right now, and they have more offensive options. I love Kentucky. I think they can get to the Final Four, but Tennessee's got six guys that could go for 20.
Jimmy Dykes on the SEC Network. He thinks if they both play their best, he likes Tennessee. ESPN.com predicted the game. You ready for this? Now, both Jared and Floyd are taking Kentucky. I'm taking Kentucky. I'm going to say it's going to be a close game, but I'm going to take Kentucky, 64-62, down to the wire, entertaining, great game. ESPN.com. Jeff Borzello, college basketball insider. Give me Tennessee on the road. I think the Volunteers will pose too many issues for Kentucky with Grant Williams and Admiral Schofield as P.J. Washington can guard only one of them. Myron Medcalf, senior college basketball writer. I love the matchup, he says. And I think we're going to see a great game that won't be decided until the final minutes, but I'm going to pick Tennessee. John Gassaway, who I have never heard of. John Gassaway. Well, ESPN, has moved on from a lot of their college basketball writers. Had to go get new ones. John Gassaway, I like Barnes guys to stay undefeated in the SEC. Jordan Schultz, who I thought covered football, but I guess he covers basketball now, says, I like the Vols to send Calipari to a rare loss at Rupp and his second this week. Four guys for ESPN all take Tennessee. And I'm just kind of stunned. Like, do we not know what Rupp Arena's like? People don't go into Rupp Arena now and win big games. That just does not happen now. It's just the only reason why I'm picking Kentucky. Neutral site game, if they were to play this game as what I think will be the third in the series at Bridgestone Arena, I think I would take the Vols. I will definitely take the Vols at Thompson Bowling, and I'm taking Kentucky tomorrow. But I think I would take the Vols in a neutral site game between the two teams. But I can't get over the home court advantage for Kentucky.
Yeah, I think that combined with the fact that they've already lost once this week, that's the That's a big, giant motivator.
Oh, I saw
that. Because they're saying to themselves, we can't lose two. You know, that does not, two home games. Yeah, that does not happen here. So, I mean, I think they're I don't disagree with anything, you know, those guys say. I mean, I think we've said from the beginning, Tennessee's got a great, well-rounded team. I mean, they're good across the board. My only question is, it's kind of like the Preds when we talk about playing Winnipeg or some of these other, you know, we're real solid and we're good across the board, but do you have that one guy or two guys that can jump out and get you the extra goal that wins the whole thing for you? And I don't know. That's my only question.
See, I think the Vols have that. I think it could be Alexander, it could be Turner, it could be.
But see, if you don't, you can't point to just.
Well, I mean, you can point to Williams and Schofield, and you can say, hey, those are the guys. Williams, Schofield, and Bone, those are kind of the three for sure guys, right?
That have a chance?
Well, the guys that get. The three stars. To me, there are five stars in this game. There's Williams, Schofield, Bone, and then there's PJ Washington and Tyler Hero. For Kentucky. Those are the five stars in this game. And I know Keldon Johnson's the biggest draft prospect, but I think those are the five stars. I can count on those three guys and two guys for Kentucky. I can count on them to show up tomorrow night and have decent games. And now the question is, you know, if it's a close game late, does Kyle Alexander make the big play or does Lamonte Turner hit four big threes in the second half? And the Vols have those guys. Now, so does Kentucky. You know, Kentucky's got those guys. So that's where it comes down to who's going to make those big-time plays. To your phones, as promised, because it is Fireball Hot Take Friday. Tyron in Brentwood is up next. Tyron, go ahead.
Yeah, I'll tell you, you know, a couple of things, if I may. If Tennessee's real tomorrow and they want to beat Mitchell with Duke, you better rough and win that game tomorrow, period. End of story.
Say that again?
Simple as that. I said, if Tennessee wants to beat Mitchell with Duke, then they're going to win that game and rough tomorrow night. End of story. Because I think they are the better team, and I believe they should go win tomorrow night. It's just simple as that. I mean, this Kentucky team isn't as good as people think. You know, they won their, I understand the winning streak, and, you know, until the other night, but this isn't a vintage Kentucky team. Calipari don't get them vintage players no more. They're going to Duke now. So I think all things being well, the only way to, in my mind, Tennessee doesn't win tomorrow is if they turn the basketball over and they're just lackluster or boring fools themselves. I think Tennessee's better, and if they're going to be pitching with Duke, they better win tomorrow night, Rob, because I'm going to tell you right now all this about if they blow Kentucky out, and people can dismiss this, that's fine. Duke beat Kentucky by 30-plus open tonight. 30-plus. How many times in the Calipari era where you looked at a Kentucky game, no matter when, where, or what, and the game was over 10 minutes in? It was that night. So, yeah, Tennessee should win tomorrow. I believe they're the second-best team in the country, and they got to go win tomorrow. Don't matter how you do it, just leave Rob with the win. Then maybe we can talk, because I feel like Duke has showed the country, and I'm not saying you, Jared, so don't go getting on your high horse, but for the most people that want to say Duke's freshman and inexperienced and you just wore this and that, I feel like Duke has shown you two kill shot signs this year that they're going to win the title, and it's the other night in a 10-minute stretch where they stared down Florida State, took their best, then they smoked them, and it was over. And then what they did to Kentucky Open tonight. Duke has the kind of team where they can play bad for a half, just kind of hang around. They can even be brutally bad. But if they hit you with that one spurt, it's like Mike Tyson. They can put you to sleep. And it's a wrap. That's how dangerous this team is. And when come March, they're going to put together a six-game tournament like the 96 Bulls, my friend.
Thank you for the call, Tyron. So I would say this about Duke. I would say this about Duke. To Tyron's point, I don't look at the Louisville game on Tuesday night and the way they came. Now, that would, you know, if I'm a Vols fan and I think I got a shot, that would not be the thing that, you know, I don't use that to judge Duke one way or another in terms of their national championship prowess, except that I don't think Duke will approach a national championship game as lackadaisical as they did the beginning of that game. An Elite Eight game, maybe. You know, the Elite Eight is the one in the bump in the road that Duke could really screw up on. But what has Tennessee done this year that makes you think they can't beat Duke? And I don't know the answer to that. You know, like, what's the answer? If they go to Kentucky and they smack Kentucky, what's to say Tennessee can't beat Duke? Now, I just think Zion is so good. I mean, that is Zion is just so big and so powerful. Yeah,
Tennessee.
And so good.
I mean, what I thought about Tennessee from the beginning, I still think, you know. And I think the team is great. They're going to go out. They're going to play. They're going to do all this. Are they going to have the guy that can light it up, can make the difference, you know, can jump in and get a bunch of threes or whatever it is you need to win?
Isn't Williams that guy? I mean, isn't Williams the guy that could take over a game like tomorrow night?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. I don't. I mean, if you're Kentucky, what are you going to do? You're going to take Williams away.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're going to probably put P.J. Washington on him. But what if he dominates
so
P.J.
Now,
Washington?
Well, no. Well, yeah. I think we'd probably all be a little bit surprised at that. But let me ask you this. What if the other guy who is not going to get guarded by him, all of a sudden you're expecting him to go off? And he doesn't.
Like
you did
at Vandy.
Like
Schofield has a no-show,
yeah. Like you did at Vandy. Now where are you? You know, those guys are both down. You probably lose.
Let's go to Dave, who's up next here on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. What's up, Dave?
Hey, guys. How's it going? My first thought is I kind of agree with Floyd. I don't think the results of Saturday really mean all that much because, you know, what this Tennessee team went in 23 out of their first 24, what history is going to judge them by is not Saturday night. What history is going to judge them by is how they do the last 2 weeks of March and the 1st of April. This team is either marked for history or marked for disappointment. So ultimately Saturday, to me, is sort of inconsequential. And also, I just wanted to echo the fact that I love hearing Floyd giggle in the background all the time as Jared spews out hyperboles on a regular basis, and I love the show, and you guys have a good weekend.
Thanks, Dave. You
Thank
too.
Thank you.
I know everyone's going to say, hey, this team's not going to be judged by this game. This is the biggest game so far of Tennessee's season. This is the game everybody in the country. How many games has Tennessee played this year that everybody in the country has watched? That's why I see the ACC is coming out. I think John Swofford, the AD, or the commissioner of the ACC, came out around media days or something and said, you know, we're thinking about starting conference basketball play at the beginning of November in the ACC. I'm like, you're an idiot if you do that. The NFL is still going on. Keep the good games away from the NFL. Because if there was NFL this weekend, if the Titans were getting ready to play Houston for a game, what do you think we'd be spending all of today on?
Yeah.
Would we be talking a lot of Tennessee, Kentucky? Probably not. So I think that, you know, since football season has been over, this is the first marquee game the Vols have played. Kentucky's played marquee games this year that people have watched. They played Duke to start the season. They played Louisville in December at the end before, you know, when football was kind of winding down. They've played Kansas after football season was over. So they've played the marquee games Kentucky has. Tennessee, they haven't. They have not this year. And this is the first big one that they're playing. And so I'm looking at this and I'm like, okay, let's see how they do under the bright lights. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. So there's another thought on Tennessee and Kentucky. And I wonder about the two coaches. And we'll discuss. That's next. Chair to the GM on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
We've put together the one seeds and we unveil them now if it comes off. And it will. So much of that idea they told me about doing it from the bottom. Those are the four one seeds. Duke, Tennessee, Virginia, Gonzaga in that order. I don't think there's really any debate about this. Is there anything you see missing here?
There's no debate, but one of those spots is going to be decided between Tennessee and Kentucky at the end of this. Like, Kentucky's the one team that could get into that four. Otherwise, I think the other three are solid and stay there.
All right, let's take it then to the two seed. And Kentucky is our highest-ranked two seed. Seth, do you see a drop-off between the four one seeds and the teams that we have at two? Kentucky, North Carolina, Michigan, and Nevada.
I do see a drop-off. Now, I think that Kentucky, North Carolina are the biggest variables because they have the greatest room for growth in terms of where they were at the start of the season and where they are right now.
So basically, it looks like, according to Jay Billis, Kentucky could sneak in and take that number one seed away from Tennessee. Now, what's interesting is that all the bracketologists originally last week had Virginia ahead of Tennessee for the number one pecking order, and now they've dropped Virginia below Tennessee. The reason that's a big deal is whichever team finishes ahead, Virginia or Tennessee, would get the number one in the South region, which would be in Louisville. So do you think Kentucky would like to be the number one seed in the Louisville region? Which is why Kentucky has to gun for a one seed. I wonder if Kentucky loses any shot at a one seed with a loss. Their record is 20-4. The Cats are 10-4 versus KenPom's top 100. I'm reading this from Gary Parrish with CBS Sports. So they're 10-4 against the top 100. They have quality wins now. Kentucky, you can't argue with some of their quality wins. At Louisville, on the road. You know, Kansas, they have got some big wins. The Vols have two big wins so far. Gonzaga and Louisville both were neutral court victories. But when Louisville is your second biggest win, that tells me you need to add to the resume a little bit. And Kentucky's your opportunity to add to the resume for that one seed.
Louisville struggled against some of these top teams, huh?
Ooh, I mean, we're not a top. I mean, you know, we are what we are. We're 16th. You know, we went to North Carolina, shellacked them, and we.
Then you got Kentucky, you got Tennessee, and Duke.
Kentucky, Tennessee, Duke. North Carolina beat us at home. We got Virginia upcoming. They'll beat us. We beat Virginia Tech. That was a good one. We choked away the game against Florida State, who's pretty good. So, you know, mixed bag. But that's what's expected. First year, new coach. We'll be back. Don't worry. We'll be okay. Don't get too worried about us. It's like Coach K went to the podium the other night, and I mean, Coach K was almost like, and I'm paraphrasing, but Coach K basically said, like, you know, they really deserved to win. That crowd was great. Those fans were great. You know, that coaching game plan was great. They deserved to win, and they didn't, and I feel bad for them that we beat them because they deserved to win, and they didn't win, and they're heartbroken over it. And I want to be like, hey, K, we don't need your pity. We'll beat you down the road. Just like we beat you in the Elite Eight when we won the championship in 2013. Don't worry about it, Coach K. We will beat you. Calm down. Don't, you know, take your win. Congratulations. You won, Coach K, but don't get too worked up about it. But I'm just wondering, you know, if Tennessee wins, does that put them in the driver's seat for the one seed? If it's going to come down to, as Jay Billis said, between Tennessee and Kentucky for a one seed, Kentucky will have six losses, I believe, or five losses, and a loss to Tennessee at home, and the Vols only have one loss.
Sure.
Now, the Vols don't have the wins on the resume, but this would be a big win on the resume if they get it.
Sure. Yeah, I think it would put them in the number one position.
So is that the most important thing about the game that we're not really talking about is how important?
Who ends up number one?
You know, who would get that fourth number one seed?
Oh, yeah.
If everybody's convinced that Gonzaga, Duke, and Virginia are going to get the other three ones. I don't know why everyone's so sold on Virginia getting a one seed.
I don't know either. But who was it? Was it Billis or somebody just said, hey, you could end up with two number ones coming out of this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it would be unique, but could
tough,
happen.
Though, after Kentucky lost the game to LSU. You know, yeah. That's the – you can't lose to the LSUs and the Alabamas like Kentucky has deep down inside if you want to be a one seed without turning around and knocking off every top team you play after that.
I would have to imagine if you're Kentucky or if you're counting, you coach the way you coach, you know early in the year you're always going to lose a game or two or three or whatever that are just, you know, going to hurt you later on, you know, just sit in your craw and just kill you, thinking, geez, if we hadn't have blown that one against Southern Miss, we'd be in great shape, but... But we did.
Well, you know how Cal is. Remember when they lost to Vanderbilt in 2012 in the SEC championship game? Now, they were still the number one overall seed in the tournament, regardless of that loss. But they lost to Vandy in 2012, and Cal was like, I'm glad we lost. It's good for – it'll be a good wake-up call for us. And they went on to win the championship, so I'm not sure you can get on Cal for that. But that's kind of how Cal is. You know, Cal kind of – you know, he kind of does that in his own a little bit and – So you're stunned at ESPN's BPI giving Tennessee 3% chance to win the title and Duke a two or and Kentucky 2%.
I'm really
5% amongst those Virginia, Gonzaga, and Duke. All
yeah, I'm really
25%.
More stunned at those other two teams up there at almost 25%.
Yeah, I think they're going off of strength of schedules, and they're looking at Tennessee's. Tennessee is better, in my opinion, than some of these other teams. Let's go to your phone. 615-737-1025. Seth Greenberg has his top five teams that can win the title: Duke, Tennessee, Virginia, Gonzaga, and Michigan. Let me just say, get Michigan out of here. Get them out of here.
Oh, look at this.
Kentucky's BPI?
59% chance to win.
Well, good, because every analyst on ESPN's picking Kentucky or picking Tennessee. So Kentucky, ESPN's BPI gives Kentucky a 59% chance to win. Let's go to Kendall, who's up next here on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. What's up, Kendall?
Hey, Jared. How you guys doing tonight?
Great.
Well, I got a bone to pick with you.
Okay.
Before the break, you said Tennessee had only played one big game, and that was Gonzaga. Then after the break, I think you said Tennessee played Louisville, if I heard you correctly. And I don't remember Tennessee playing Louisville. They played Kansas when Kansas was ranked 1 or 2 and lost in overtime.
I said big wins.
Big wins, okay. But I don't remember Tennessee playing Louisville, so I got to work on my memory. But here's what I think happened.
google.com and click in Tennessee basketball schedule, and you will see it will pop up there.
There you go. I got it on the refrigerator at home, but I'm in the car. But I think Tennessee loses one game against the next two with Kentucky. And I think it'll help them because they'll be hungry. But I think if Tennessee just loses one of those two and then beats LSU and wins the rest of their games, that they'll end up a number one seed and Kentucky will end up a 2 seed. You don't put Kentucky, I don't care how much tradition they have, as the number one seed with 5 or 6 losses.
So I would agree with you, except for the amount of quality wins. Thank you for your call, Kendall. The amount of quality wins, which makes me think if they split the regular season and each team wins out the rest of the way, right? So let's say that they split the regular season, Kentucky wins tomorrow, Tennessee wins in Thompson Bowling, and then neither team loses another SEC game, and they meet in the SEC championship game. I think Tennessee will get a 1 seed. I think Tennessee will get a 1 seed.
They'll only have 2 losses, right?
They'll only have 2 losses.
Yeah, sure.
And they'll have a win over Gonzaga. And let's not forget, again, the Sunday championship game precedes the bracket reveal. And most of the work on the bracket is done before Sunday. Now, some of that, you know, the automatic qualifiers that can punch their ticket and knock a team out, you know, they have like the, okay, if Siena wins and that takes steals a bid, then Oklahoma's out. Like, they have those contingencies, but not usually for seeds like that. So I do wonder, would a Sunday SEC championship game like that, would that come down to, you know, okay, the winner gets the 1 seed, the loser gets the 2 seed, or would Tennessee, by only having 2 losses, maybe 3, based upon the outcome of that championship game, just go ahead and put them in as a 1 seed no matter what?
Well, the only issue would be is if they lose to Kentucky twice. I mean, if that were to happen, the second loss in the championship.
Then I
think you'd have to look at it a little funny. I mean, I'm not sure you could be so quick to do that. But if they only lose to them once and have a total of 2 losses, then I think they're in.
Mm. Looking at these other teams, you know, and some of these records, like, I think to myself, you know, like, North Carolina already has 5 losses, including a 20-point drubbing at home against Louisville. And you're going to put North Carolina in over a Tennessee kind of team?
No.
No way. Absolutely not. So that's, I mean, if Tennessee wins tomorrow, it's going to be hard for Tennessee to not get a 1 seed if they win tomorrow night, unless they just poop their pants down the stretch. Let's take more of your phones and our predictions. We got this game. We got Vegas and the Preds. We got some AAF football. Would you ever consider betting on AAF football? I know you don't gamble on football, but like if you were somebody who just was a casual gambler, would you? We'll get to that coming up. Jared of the GM, ESPN 102.5 The Game and streaming on the Game Nashville app. Jared of the GM, it is a doubleheader tomorrow night on our family of networks. 94.9 Game 2 coverage starts at 5:30 for the Cats and the Vols. And then coverage starts at 8 o'clock, Ian? 8 o'clock on 102.5 The Game. Puck drop at 9 o'clock for the Preds and Vegas. It is a doubleheader. There's some AAF football. Again, the AAF games, because apparently it's very hard to find where these games are. Like, I'm not even sure that, like, ESPN, you can't, like, click AAF and then go read about the league.
Even the AAF website doesn't have where the game is going to be. It has the time, but it doesn't have the channel.
Really?
Well, yeah. That's why you all should be glad that you have me. Because tomorrow, 1 o'clock, TNT will have the first AAF game. Don't know who's playing. NFL Network, 7 o'clock, will have the first AAF game. We'll have the second AAF game. Sunday, 3 o'clock, CBS Sports Network will have the AAF. And then Sunday, 7 o'clock, NFL Network will have the AAF. So,
do you know any of the crews?
No.
I wonder who they're putting on there.
I hope Gary Danielson's back. I mean, when I turned it on the first one, I heard Trent Green, and I'm like, okay, Trent Green doing San Antonio, San Diego. Then when the Preds bus trip, when we got, you know, too far east, and they put me on Orlando, Atlanta, I heard Danielson, and I'm like, whoa, they got Gary Danielson calling a game like this?
There you go.
You know, they must have called, like, every CBS broadcaster. They must have said, hey, Jim Nantz, do you have any desire to call the Alliance of American Football? And Jim was probably like, I think I'll be at the Waste Management Open, golf. And it's a first down for the Patriots. It's Edelman. You know, that's probably Jim's like, no, I'm doing golf. And then they probably asked Greg Gumbel, no, I'm okay. And then they said, Gary, would you have any interest in doing it? And Gary's probably like, sure. And they're like, what? Really, Gary? Okay, you're on. Go, Gary. And so I was pumped to hear Gary Danielson. If you were a compulsive gambler, do you think you'd bet on the AAF?
No. Well, I shouldn't say that. If I was a compulsive gambler, I'd probably bet on anything. You know? I had a guy I knew that had a gambling issue, and they used to bet like $500 on which elevator would go from 30th floor to the first floor.
That is compulsive.
Yeah.
I just wonder, like, what the betting numbers will be on the AAF. You know how they tell us TV ratings? Well, now they're telling us, you know, $5.5 million was wagered on such and such. I'd like to know how much is being bet on the AAF. I bet you'd be stunned how much people bet on this thing. I bet they bet on it like crazy. Only because they bet on football.
So hard because you don't know the teams.
Like the quarterback from Birmingham, Perez, who was lighting it up. No one's ever heard of him.
And you don't know, you know, you haven't seen him play. You don't know much about him. In fact, you know nothing about him.
All you got to do is just bet against Mike Singletary.
I guess.
Okay, two games, the big games, Kentucky versus Tennessee. It's time for our game predictions. Floyd Reese, who wins tomorrow night and why? Kentucky versus Tennessee.
Well, I mean, I have to go with Kentucky simply because it's in Kentucky. But it's going to be a close game. It'll be 1, 2, 3 points, you know, something like that. It'll be close. It'll be exciting. It's going to be well worth watching. And unfortunately, I think Tennessee will not quite get there, but they will when they go to Knoxville.
So you're rooting for Tennessee?
I am. No, Kentucky will win.
No, but you're rooting for Tennessee. You want Tennessee to win.
Sure.
What? Kentucky's just as much a local team as Tennessee.
Yeah. To me, I'm in Tennessee. I'm for Tennessee.
Okay. I'm with you. I'm going to take Kentucky. And I'm going to take Kentucky for a couple of reasons. Number one, I think the worst thing that happened to the Vols was LSU going to Rupp and winning Tuesday night. Because Kentucky just does not lose at Rupp Arena. And so the fact that they lost at Rupp Arena, that was a red flag. And you know they're going to be extra motivated or triple motivated or whatever it is when they take on Tennessee. Also, the Vols, this crew, has never played in that building in that type of environment that it will be tomorrow. And Kentucky is going to get every whistle. That's just how it works in that building. So I'm going to go Kentucky 64, Tennessee 61. I think it's going to be a close game. I think it's going to be an entertaining game. I think it's going to be a game of runs. So it's going to start off. One team's going to be up 17-5. Then it's going to be tied. Then another team's going to pull ahead. Then it's going to be tied. Then it's going to be one of these weird game of runs tomorrow. It'll all come down to the end. And I'm going to go Kentucky 65, Tennessee, or did I say 65? 64.
64, I think.
64-61.
On the low end,
I'm going to take
end,
Tennessee,
huh?
Yes.
A little bit of low scoring.
I think it's going to be a lot of defense, a lot of rebounding. I think there's going to be a lot of fouls. Grant Williams, the question is how much will they call the fouls between Williams and Washington tomorrow, but I'm going to take Kentucky. Preds tomorrow night, 9 o'clock against Vegas. Floyd, what do you need to see out of the Preds tomorrow? Because yesterday you wanted to see a game, win or lose, where we looked at it and said, hey, that felt like Preds hockey. Did you feel that way about last night's game? And against one of the better teams in the Western Conference, a team you've already beaten twice this year, what do you expect to see out of the Predators tomorrow night?
You know what? I did feel last night was a little bit more of the Preds style, especially in the first and third periods. I mean, I thought it was. Now, the second period, you know, we disappeared except for Pekka, who, you know, played maybe the best period he's played in a long time. So I thought that was great. But I did see spurts, you know, and we saw some scoring from guys that we hadn't seen scoring from and things like that, which, you know, I think give you hope and you get excited about that. Now, I do worry about playing Vegas in Vegas. I mean, I don't – that worries me a little bit because at least last year they were pretty good in Vegas. So if I was betting there, I think I'd probably have to take Vegas.
So I'm with you. I mean, to me, the Predators are so lucky that they beat Vegas when they beat them in Vegas a couple weeks ago. Soros was just fantastic. I'm going to guess Peter goes with Soros again tomorrow night because you would have to think – Soros has beaten Vegas twice this year and has had two great performances, you know, plus Pekka played last night. You ride the hot hand when you got the hot hand going, which is what I would expect. I want to see secondary scoring again tomorrow. I want to see Bonino. I want to see your third line, your fourth line, those guys kind of chip in. Boyle had a big goal the other night. I just want to see the secondary guys get going because if they do, as Robbie Stanley said earlier today on the show, that's the whole key to what he thinks could be a cup run.
Did the Boyle goal surprise you?
I mean, it surprised me that PK passed.
It surprised me. From him out from that far out.
Did you see what? I told you what happened. I think because they had two guys going with PK, when PK dropped it back for that beautiful shot from Boyle, I think Montreal, they know PK so well, they knew PK was going to shoot. And so the fact that PK passed, they were like, whoa. It's like Michael Jordan passing to Steve Kerr at the end of the 97 finals.
Well, I was happy for him, but I was surprised that he was that far out, and he hammered it.
Well, Arvey had the jump screen on the play, and I thought to myself, shouldn't it be the other way around? Shouldn't Boyle be screening the goalie and Arvidsson be the one shooting it? That's going to do it for us. Again, the doubleheader on our family of networks, 94.9 Game 2, Tennessee-Kentucky tomorrow, and Preds-Vegas tomorrow night. We're back with a full reaction Monday at 2. Preds Insiders.